All right, we're talking with Steve Hinneker, Executive Director of 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin, about farmland loss and the threat to Wisconsin's economy. Steve, I think most people are aware that this has been going on for quite some time in Wisconsin. The family farm has been on the decline. A lot of times it's very attractive for older people who are engaged in farming to sell the land for development rather than for continued use in agriculture. But these findings indicate that this is taking place a lot faster here than in many other states.
Yeah, that's a real concern for us because we are losing farmland faster than most other states. In fact, we're in the top 10 of in the rate of farmland loss. But even more concerning, I think, is the fact that the states that are ahead of us are faster growing states for the most part. So even though we're a relatively slow growing state, we're losing farmland at a fast rate. And it points to some factors that I think that we can control and probably do a better job of protecting our future economy.
I want to ask about a couple of elements to this loss of farmland. The first is loss of production for food. Now, obviously, agriculture is a lot more effective, a lot more efficient in food production than it was 60, 75 years ago. But is this something that could actually threaten Wisconsin's ability to be a net exporter of food?
Well, I think if you look at what's happening with food production, the cost of transporting food is on the rise. We have a temporary drop in the cost of oil and the cost of gasoline for transportation purposes. But looking ahead, we have to prepare for higher gas prices and higher transportation costs. And that just argues so strongly for a native agriculture in Wisconsin that can better meet some of our food needs. Certainly, if you look at some of the costs of transporting vegetables, you spend more in fuel costs sometimes or gasoline costs than you do in actually for the vegetable itself. And that argues for a different approach, I think, towards our future economy as this only goes up.
And the study that looked at loss of farmland, did it factor in the increased demand that biofuels are going to be putting on our remaining cropland?
Really what it did, it pointed towards that. And that's a definite direction that Wisconsin is taking. Biofuel is factoring very substantially into the future of agriculture in Wisconsin. And this points to the fact that as we lose farmland, we lose the ability to rely on that as a base. Keep in mind that where farmland loss occurs is as important as how much frequently. That is, you can't continue to farm if you have a 40-acre plot that's surrounded by suburban-style development because the infrastructure won't work, the neighbors won't allow it. So we need to make sure that as we develop, not only do we reduce the number of acres, but we're careful about where we put those acres.
Yeah, well, you referenced suburban development and people moving into agricultural areas, and that sort of speaks to some of the conflicts that develop with agriculture, with people who don't understand everything that's involved with that.
Sure, it's a beautiful countryside. We all like to go out there and live close to the red barns and look at the vistas. But the fact is that farms can be noisy. They can have distinct odors that we're aware of. And the fact is that it makes it a little less pleasant for some people to move out into the countryside. And we need to think about those things because those conflicts sometimes when you get enough people that are moving out there in the new development will shut down farm operations.
And this will continue. In your release, you state that at our current rate of development, we could lose or will lose nearly 1,000 square miles of farmland in the next quarter century.
Right. What's happening is Wisconsin is growing. We're going to add about, at our current development rate, which is about an acre and a half per new unit of development, we project that given the population growth, we'll lose about 1,000 square miles of land just to the housing itself. That doesn't take into account the schools, the stores, service centers, and the like. So that's kind of the best case scenario unless we change our development patterns. And that's the one thing that we have a lot of control over is community design, working with communities to help them understand the tremendous advantages that can occur with higher density development.
Smart growth, you would like to see an increase in funding for smart growth, but I wonder what sort of support you might see for that in the legislature, because as you know, the legislature, particularly members of the Republican Party, there are a lot of people who aren't sold on smart growth.
Well, the thing about smart growth is the money that we are seeking is to help local communities do local planning. This is really for bottom-up planning. This is to allow a local community to all on their own involve local citizens to develop a locally driven plan for development for the future. I think it's unfortunately been miscast that it's somehow top down. And again, 70% of the state, 70% of the communities in the state have already begun this. We're looking at 30% of the communities in the state wanting to do this before the 2010 deadline. And frankly, we don't have enough money to help all of those communities. And what we want to do is make, in that short of a time period, we just want to make sure that the dollars are there so that grants can go to communities to undertake the kind of planning that will help them determine their own futures. There's nobody in Madison telling them what to do. We've got our ideas. We'll throw them out there, and the communities can take them or leave them. It really is a bottom-up plan.
And lastly, the Ag Department has developed recommendations, and I guess maybe we should emphasize these are recommendations under their Working Lands Initiative, but it appears that that at least gives us a direction to head in terms of retaining farmland.
Right. The Department of Agriculture has been a real leader here. Secretary Nielsestuen has helped put together a plan that has had the input of towns, cities, realtors, developers, farmers, environmental groups, a real cross-section of stakeholders here to come up with some plans that include a state-funded purchase of development rights program, modestly funded to help communities essentially buy easements on the most important parcels of land for agriculture in their areas, to come up with agricultural enterprise zones that would allow jurisdictions to create and cluster farming operations that ensure their operations into the future, that they won't be displaced by development or by roads and the like. It's again, it's tied into that smart growth plan, but it helps them come up with some local tools to help preserve some of the farmland. Without these tools in place, we're afraid that we're going to continue on the unfortunate downward trend of loss of farmland.
And much as we hear so often that if we are going to decrease our dependency on foreign fuels, we need to start acting now. If we want to stem this, we need to not put it off.
Exactly. You know, gasoline costs, energy costs are on the rise, and what we need to do is measures here in Wisconsin that reduce both the cost and the need for increased transportation fuels. You know, whether it's better development, whether it's increased use of transit, whether it's selective use of biofuels, all of these come together, and of course, energy conservation, all these factors come together in what could be a sustainable future for Wisconsin. And that's what we're really trying to promote is a sustainable future. That is one that we can continue to fund without breaking the bank and helping people continue with their existing lifestyles.
Steve Hinneker with 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin, thanks very much.
Thank you, Bob.